Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumping James Herbert. What a crappy day.
I'm so mad. Like, we just had to sit around, watch Twitter, and hope that something exciting was going to happen. Some things happened. You know, there were trades.
We had a flurry.
But, I mean, the bar was raised last year, right? Like, if this was a flurry, then last year was like a hurricane. This was a very mild flurry. I'd prefer a McFlurry, I think.
Definitely. I'm looking at last year's deals.
All right, last year was insane.
I know why you like this one. We had Isaiah Cannon for KJ McDaniels, so that was exciting for you.
More than one Isaiah was traded at last year's
deal. Right. We had JaVale. We had the Aflalo deal. Yeah, we had Isaiah.
Dragic.
Dragic. Shved for Prigioni. Thaddeus Young for KG. All right, yeah, last year there was some... Tayshaun Prince was involved at some point.
Those were some names.
Yeah, we had... All right, we had names. I agree with that.
And this year...
This year is just an absolute crap factory.
I mean, at least Markieff Morris was traded. Like, we're getting down late into the... I wouldn't say late into the day. I guess late into the pre-deadline day. And it was like, how is Morris still a Sun? This was supposed to happen last summer. Are they really going to keep him? And no, they didn't. Washington took him. It happened. They got their first-round pick. That's fine. But all of those big names that we were talking about, like, you know, Powell, Dwight Howard, all the Hawks guys.
Right. Yeah. Teague, Horford, Lawson.
Everybody stayed.
Yeah, well, all right. I never expected Horford or Dwight to get dealt. Just because of what everything that was being said of, like, look, no one's giving up these assets going into the summer where you can just go sign these guys. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't expect any of that. I did expect, like, especially after, like, the Kings stuff in the last day or so, like, I expected Powell to get traded.
It sounds like they really tried.
Yeah, it sounds like they really tried. And I didn't think Lawson was going to... I guess last night I was about 40-60 on Lawson getting dealt to the Jazz. Mm-hmm. It sounded more last night like it was going to happen than when it didn't happen last night. I woke up this morning thinking, like, Lawson's not going anywhere. Or he's at least not going to the Jazz. Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised that Markieff got dealt.
Really?
Yeah. I'm surprised he got dealt because I just didn't think that... I didn't think a team was going to give up a first for him.
Looks kind of bad that Tobias Harris didn't command a first.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, 2 days later, like the other day, I didn't really have a problem with them not getting a pick for him. But now, Donatas Motiejunas got Houston a pick.
Yep.
Channing Frye, or I guess Anderson Varejao, got Portland a pick. Who else? We had Lance Stephenson came with a pick to Memphis.
We haven't even talked about that one yet.
I mean, like...
We need like a solid like 15 minutes on the Lance Stephenson, Jeff Green deal. We'll get to that.
Right, we'll get to that. All right, I guess let's just try to go in order. First, Sean Marks, after Mikhail Prokhorov had no idea who he was, got hired as the new GM of the Nets, so that's exciting.
Turns out he did know his name. Wow. Yeah. Had everybody fooled.
He had everybody fooled. That's exciting. Like, I like Sean Marks a lot. I've talked to him a couple of times. And he's just, like, everyone who seems to know him, like, just seems to love him and think highly of, like, not just as a person, but, like, think highly of his basketball IQ and what he, you know, what he's learned with the Spurs and in his career. So I think that's a smart hire. He's got a lot of work cut out for him, but hopefully they are not going to meddle, which I think that, you know, considering the news that came out about how, like, he was turning down the job. And then the whole Prokhorov didn't know his name. And now, you know, like, 18 hours later, he's hired. It does feel like maybe they either upped the offer or, like, guaranteed him that he wasn't going to, like, be meddled with so much.
Yeah, the Yahoo report was that they raised their offer late last night. He's got a 4-year deal now. I don't know exactly what the numbers are. But it sounded like they had to kind of sweeten it to get him to go there. Because the Spurs, I mean, they loved him. And they were kind of grooming him to take on more responsibility. I think I also read that they were going to give him a raise if he'd stayed. But there are only 30 of these jobs in the league. And I think we make fun of the Nets so much, and their outlook for the next couple of years is really bad when you just look at their picks and their roster. But I mean, you know, it's a big market, and the owner is definitely willing to spend money. We know that. Like, I think there are worse jobs out there. It's just he really needs to have time. He needs to have the front the ownership's trust, and they need to be patient with him. So if they're really going to let him build what he wants to build in 4 years, and if they're really going to let him have input on who this coach is and make sure that it's somebody where they have a good relationship, then yeah, this could be the start of something. It's just, it's really the start. Like, for him to take this job on trade deadline day, I wonder how that even worked. I wonder how many calls he was taking about Thaddeus Young and other guys in the roster. But yeah, I think we'll see a lot of roster turnover this summer. And if they can get a pick for the upcoming draft somehow, then that would be great. But it's just tough. Like, you look, he's got a 4-year contract. I think in the entire lifespan of that, Brooklyn won't have its own pick in the draft.
Right. Well, yeah, I think maybe the goal is, like, in the next 3 drafts, just have 2 first-round picks. They have one because they'll get to swap with Boston, or they'll be forced to swap with Boston. And then if you can get one either in this draft or the 2018 draft, I think that's pretty successful. You know, and then from there, it's just finding quality guys. It's using the D League. It's using smart, you know, low risk, high reward signings. Like, it's trying to find those deals where you can just gain assets and gain depth, because they have no depth. They have no assets aside from Brooke and maybe Thad. I guess Rondae Hollis Jefferson, but he's hurt, so who knows like how high his stock is anyway. But he's, you know, they, you know, a couple of pieces, but you just want to keep adding pieces. And then at the end of the 3 or 4 years, what, you know, however they look, if they just look like they've made progress, then Sean Marks shows he can do the job. And that's, you know, this is either setting him up for future success with this job or setting him up for future success with another team. And that's really, you know, that's his goal. And for Brooklyn, if he does either of those, they'll be in a better position.
Yeah. Teams sure love these guys that have worked in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't just take some like retread. It seems like they got somebody who's like an up and coming executive in the league. But we'll see. It's just so early, and we also don't know what Prokhorov's timeline really is. Because right. I mean, I was at that press conference in Brooklyn when he said, hopefully we'll be contenders next season. And I was like, what are you talking about? But then he issues that letter yesterday morning on the Vertical saying that they've learned to be patient. And it's like, okay, so now we'll see if they've actually learned to be patient or not, right?
Right. And you, I mean, you know, is he going to sell the team? Is he not going to sell the team?
And that's another question.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of stability to be found there. All right, let's get into the deals. We'll just go in order. All right, Pistons get Donatas Montiennis, who they've been rumored to be after since basically Stan Van Gundy took over the team, and Marcus Thornton from the Rockets for a first-round pick and Joel Anthony.
Pistons are serious, man.
They are.
They
want
to make the playoffs really badly.
Yeah, I mean, for a team, like, that team didn't have depth, right? Mm-hmm. And they've turned, you know, they turned Brandon Jennings, Ersan Ilyasova, and Joel Anthony into Montiennis, Tobias Harris, and Marcus Thornton. Like, I think that's pretty good return.
That's really good to me.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so like the first-round pick, it's this year's pick, which is, you know, that's tough to give up a pick, but I think that if they make the playoff push and they get into the playoffs, it's well worth it, right? And the idea is kind of, were you going to get someone better than Donatas Montiennis in this draft that may not be all that deep? You know, that's a fair question. Now, they'll also have to re-sign him because he's a restricted free agent this summer. But if he plays well,
at least he's restricted.
Right, yeah.
It's not like you're just renting this guy and you have no control over it.
Yeah, exactly. And they needed another guard. So Thornton, who's, you know, not shot the three all that well this year, but is capable of scoring in volume. Like, that just adds some depth to the rotation. I think maybe it's a little bit of Jody Meeks insurance there, which I can't believe that's a thing I just said. But
yeah, Jody Meeks insurance.
Yeah, Jody Meeks insurance. But yeah, I love the deal for them. And then for the Rockets, a lot of failure today, I guess, because they couldn't get anyone to bite on Dwight. They couldn't get rid of Lawson. the best they do is get a pick for Motiejunas, but they got a pick. And if they make the playoffs, they lose their pick to Denver, so they still keep a pick. And if they don't make the playoffs, then they have two first round picks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind this for Houston at all, just because they had a logjam of bigs anyway. I really like Motiejunas, but it seemed like maybe he doesn't fit into what they're doing long term. I'm not sure what they're doing long term anymore. I think they tried to do numerous other things today that clearly didn't work out. And I would say, if you're looking at this just in a vacuum, then it's like, yeah, the Pistons won the trade, blah, blah, blah. But I think this is fine. Like, the Rockets ended up getting a first-round pick for Motiejunas while Orlando couldn't get one for Tobias Harris. So I'm not going to kill Morey for this one.
Right.
I do think overall, though, their deadline, that was not what Rockets fans wanted to see, because I think they're kind of sick of watching this team that clearly doesn't really like playing together.
Yeah.
And that's obviously, judging by all the reports that came out about what they wanted to do with Lawson and what they wanted to do with Howard, this is not what the front office wanted either. So I don't know how they can turn this thing around from now until the start of the playoffs. The talent's still there, but the talent has been there all year.
Right, that's the thing. It's not like they've been dealing with like major injuries.
Yeah, it's like, I guess maybe now that they know that this is who's going to be there, that's sort of, I mean, you get rid of that kind of anticipation or that worry, like, am I going to get traded before the deadline? Because I think most people in the locker room, aside from Harden, probably were thinking about that.
Yeah.
But at least that's over. But, yeah, I mean, I really dig the Motiejunas thing for Detroit. I mean, since he's been injured so long, I think people forget, like, he'd really developed into one of the better post players in the NBA.
That's a nice big man rotation of, like, Drummond, Harris, Motiejunas, Tolliver, Aaron Baines. That's one of the better big men rotations in the game.
So that's, and they're all really different, too.
Yeah, definitely. And you can mix and match in a lot of ways.
And Marcus Morris can play a little bit of stretch four as well. I mean, when he's playing with Harris, it's like, who's the three, who's the four? I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, same when he's playing with Tolliver. Like, they have a lot of flexibility. I still would have liked them to pick up, you know, a point guard.
Sure, they tried.
Yeah, but, you know, picking up Thornton's not bad. No. I like the move. It's, you know, just another potential microwave off the bench for them.
He can win you a random playoff game. Like, he's done that before. He just comes in and he suddenly has like 15 points in a half or a quarter.
Right. Yeah, no, he can get hot. All right, let's move on to Cleveland Cavaliers. Had a three-team deal with the Blazers and the Magic. Channing Frye to the Cavs. Anderson Varejao to the Blazers.
Yeah. When this gets completed, I think Ken Berger reported it could end up being structured as two separate deals just for,
right,
like, technicality's sake. But, yeah, it's a three-way trade.
A second-round pick goes to Orlando. A first-round pick goes to Portland for taking Varejao's deal.
Yeah.
I like it for all sides. Jared Cunningham also gets moved, but he's expected to be waived
by
Orlando.
Varejao.
Yeah, same with Varejao. You know, upgrading from Varejao to Channing Frye, maybe that doesn't solve the Cavs' issues or whatever issues they have. It doesn't help them beef up too much, but Channing Frye is like a 40% three-point shooter every year. I mean, having that weapon at your disposal in a playoff series could be pretty valuable. And, you know, giving up a first-round pick isn't great for it, but it's not like, I don't know, it's not like a first-round pick was going to come in and help them all that much from, like, you know, 28, 29, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
In 2018. So I like that move. For Orlando, I like it because they just keep cutting cap space. I think they can have as much as, I either read $45 or $54 million in cap space.
Yeah, I read 45. That's assuming.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, it must have been 45, yeah.
That's assuming they don't keep Ilyasova. So we'll see.
Yeah, but right.
They could have 45 million.
Right. Yeah. So you know, you become a player. Like, a lot of teams are going to have cap space, but you become a player in that instance, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they go out and get Nicholas Batum or someone, you know, or DeMar DeRozan,
yeah,
or someone like that. You know, I don't know what their plans are. And then Portland gets a pick. Portland did really well for itself, you know, with their cap space at the deadline, getting picks.
Portland did the Philly thing. They'll just hoard cap space.
Yeah.
Everybody in the league knows we have this $20 million just sitting there. And give us whoever you want. Just give us some sort of reward. And to get an extra first-round pick like that, that's great for them. I think with Orlando, like, I can't really judge this until we see what happens in free agency, because, you know, I get it. Like, Fry wasn't really doing much for them, and I think the tenure since they got him last year, he was supposed to be part of what made them like a serious team and would help them get to the playoffs, because he played so well with that Suns team. And I don't think it's his fault that it didn't work out, but it didn't work out. And I get cutting bait, but I look at this and the Harris trade kind of together, and I'm like, well, if they did that to save money and then they bring guys in the summer, then I really do understand it. But I just look at the summer and I see so many teams that have space. I'm not sure this is the best summer to be doing that, because they probably will have to overpay somebody, and it might not necessarily put them in a better position going into next year than they would have been otherwise. But time will tell on that. On Cleveland, I really like it, man. Like, I think Fry has been one of the more underrated players in the league the last couple of years, just because nobody's really watching the Magic, and he was on the bench for a lot of last year and not getting the playing time that he maybe should have or could have in another situation. But it wasn't that long ago when we were watching him run those pick and pops with Goran Dragic, and they were scoring like some obscene number of points per possession on that play.
Yeah.
And I don't see why he can't do that in Cleveland. He'll obviously be a backup, and, you know, they already have a stretch big in Kevin Love, but I think those two guys can play together, and I think it's good just to have another option. It's good to strengthen that bench in any way you can. I don't think this really tilts them over, like, so they have a really meaningfully better shot in a final situation or anything like that. But I think it'll surely help their road to the finals get a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at like a fifth big as Channing Frye. That's not
bad. Which is really a luxury. Yeah,
that's really not bad. No, I like the move for them too. And I don't know, like in that second unit, you can kind of run like a horns play with Tristan and with Channing Frye, and just have Frye pop and have Tristan roll with Delly. And like the Delly-Tristan, you know, pick and roll is pretty amazing with the alley-oop. And now you add the element of, you know, stretching the floor a little bit in that situation with Channing Frye. Like, that could be a decent weapon in the second unit for them.
Oh, yeah. I think people will really see what Channing Frye has to offer when he's, even though he's not going to get like 30 minutes a game, I think just him being on a team that matters again and really spacing the floor and making teams pay when he's going to get so many more like open shots in this situation than he did in Orlando.
Right.
Because the spacing with the Magic, I mean, he could space the floor, but he was often the best shooter on the floor and sometimes the only real long range threat on the floor with this team over the past year and a half. And that's just never going to be the case in Cleveland. So I think he really fits. Like I said, I'm not sure this is really, I mean, we're here hyping up the Channing Frye trade because the deadline wasn't that great. But right. I do think it does matter. Like, it does make them better.
Sure. All right, let's move on. The Jazz get Shelvin Mack. They pass on Jeff Teague. They pass on Ty Lawson. They go get Shelvin Mack for a second.
Yeah.
And then I think Kirk Heinrich went somewhere.
Back to Atlanta.
Kirk Heinrich went back to Atlanta. Justin Holiday went somewhere.
Did he end up in Chicago somehow?
Maybe he ended up in Chicago. He didn't go to Utah. I know that.
I think he ended up in Chicago.
Okay, so maybe those are two separate deals, but we can count them all as one. You know, just a nice pickup for the Jazz. They needed a little bit of defense in the backup point guard. He's like, I don't know, he's a little bigger guard. He's like 6'3 or so, steady hand. He can't really shoot, but I don't know. You can do a lot worse than a second or third point guard with Shelvin Mack. He's fine.
Yeah, that's some insurance.
Yeah.
As you'd like to say. And I like Holiday in Chicago, too. I'm kind of confused why the Hawks gave up on him so quickly. Because
yeah,
he's a
weird.
Really good defender. He's super young. He's athletic. And I think he's the sort of guy that, like, we're going to see a lot of moves, I think, next summer for Chicago when they kind of try to remake themselves to be a more Hoiburgian team. And I think he can fit into that. There's still work to be done on the shot. And I think Atlanta was really trying to help him in that area, too. But he's young enough that I think it can definitely improve.
All right, we've got the Nuggets and the Thunder. Nuggets get DJ Augustine, Steve Novak, and two second-round picks. The Thunder get Randy Foy. I think part of this was cap-saving for the Thunder.
Yes.
But Foy's like, I don't know, he's a I guess he'd be their fifth guard.
So yes.
Yeah, like he's...
I mean, to me, Campaign is... He's already overtaken Augustine in the rotation before this deal.
Yeah, I think Payne is definitely the backup.
Yeah.
Foy's nice insurance. A lot of insurance going on. The NBA trade deadline brought to you by State Farm or whatever insurance we're sponsored by.
Yeah, totally. I mean, are you excited about this deal? Like, I can't
No.
I can't really muster up much of a take on Randy Foy joining the like crowded Thunder backcourt situations. Like, they already have Waiters and Morrow. What they really need on the wing is like actual two-way players, right? Like, they need somebody that can bridge the gap in between a Morrow and a Roberson. And Randy Foy is not that guy. So,
right.
You know, he can score. Whatever. I'm not sure how many minutes he'll actually get there. I like DJ Augustine, I think, as a player a bit more. I like him as a facilitating backup guard. But I think with the emergence of Cameron Payne, they didn't need Augustine anymore. So you save some money, you make the deal. And we'll see how much Augustine even plays in Denver, because with Nelson and Moutier, I don't know how much opportunity he's even going to have there.
Yeah, he's kind of back to not being good anymore. No, me getting me to care about this deal, I just...
It's difficult, man.
I'm upset that Steve Novak is going to get waived. I like him on a team. I just like watching him warm up when he's there. So
I love watching him warm up. Also, one of the better interviews in the NBA.
Yeah, just a good dude. So hopefully someone picks him up soon. Brian Roberts got traded in the Courtney Lee deal, practiced with the Miami Heat, and then got traded to Portland.
Weird week for Brian Roberts.
Really weird week. Portland picks up a second as well from Miami, and Miami goes in their last couple of days, they went from owing over $25 million in repeater tax to being under the luxury tax, which is... That's pretty impressive. That's a good job. Yeah. That's a good job by Riley. Is. Like, they didn't want to pay their luxury tax, and instead they end up, you know, they're going to get money from this.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really hurt their core. Like, they probably don't want to give up Birdman, but they didn't really hurt their core. So that's a good financial move for them. And then, you know, Portland keeps picking up picks.
Yeah, everybody's known all year what Miami was trying to do, and it took till the last second to do it.
Right. It started with the Chalmers.
Started with Chalmers. But I mean, it's just, yeah, like if you have your spreadsheets out with everybody's cap situation,
which you know I do,
then you're excited about this stuff. But I think other than that, it's hard to really care.
Right.
I don't know, man.
That's going to be the title of this podcast. It's hard to really care. It's hard to really care.
No, but we have some other stuff.
Yeah. All right. We got two good deals now, right?
Yes.
So just came in under the buzzer. We've got Chris Humphreys, DeJuan Blair, and a protected first-round pick, which I believe is top 9 protected.
Yeah,
going to the Phoenix Suns for Markieff Morris. They were asking for a young player and a pick. They ended up just getting the pick and then, you know, some contract filler. But getting a top 9 protected pick for Markieff Morris at this point, at that point in the deadline, I think it's a good move by Phoenix. You know, it's the whole addition by subtraction thing. You get a pick out of it. All right, so now you got to pay Chris Humphreys a little bit of money, but that's a pretty good compromise there.
I wish I knew what was available for Morris a month ago, 2 months ago.
Sure, yeah.
Back in August, because then it would be easier to kind of evaluate what exactly the Suns have been doing with this guy for the past few months. But if this wasn't available before, and it was at the last minute to a Wizards team that really wants to make a playoff push and has been disappointing this season, then credit McDonough for waiting it out and getting the pick that he wanted. But if this was available before, then I would stand by what I said before on previous podcasts, that they should have just got rid of him. But I'm glad they didn't stick out the season with him. I think it's time for Phoenix to start establishing who is a part of their future and who isn't. And Markieff Morris obviously was not. He rolled out of the arena on a hoverboard today and sort of fell off it.
Sort of fell off. Captured
on video.
And like whoever was with him, security or agent or I don't know who was with him, his handler, whatever he is, picked it up for him. So that was nice. Corralled the hoverboard for him.
And you could see the Arizona Republic's Paul Coro on his tail.
He was
with that recorder.
And then just gave up and had this great look on his face of like, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this guy anymore.
That might be my favorite thing from trade deadline day. is that video of Morris. Also, the other thing that sticks out, which we haven't talked about, is that apparently when Nick Young showed up, he thought yesterday was the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So he was all like, yes, I'm still here.
I mean, how long
has he lasted? He was right.
How long has he been in the league? Like 2006?
Something like that.
2005?
Maybe earlier. I think it might have been 2004 or 5.
Right, because well, 2006 was the last you could get high schoolers. And he was a high... Or no, he went to USC. Oh, right. He went to a year at USC. Yeah, maybe it was 2005. Whenever it was. So he's been in the league for over a decade.
We are both wrong. It was 2007. We were way off.
Oh, okay.
But nonetheless...
All right, he's been in the league for a decade.
Yes.
At any point, was the trade deadline in that decade on a Wednesday? It wasn't.
Absolutely not.
I can tell you it wasn't. So that's just kind of amazing. He either doesn't know when the trade deadline is every year, or he just didn't know what day it was. Which is, either way, I'm happy.
I mean, I can relate. Sometimes I don't know what day it is. It happens.
Yeah.
To the best of us.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
So, in the end, the Morris deal.
So, for the Wizards... Is this a great gamble for them? Is it just kind of like, hey, their season sucks anyway. Let's see if they can salvage something with Markieff and then have a nice piece moving forward?
On paper, I think it's a great move because I think he's worth more than the contract that he has. And I think he's a better player than he's shown this year. So if he's suddenly running around with John Wall and getting open three-point looks and getting some post-up touches because...
I loved him last year.
Yeah,
I thought he was really good on the Suns last year for big stretches of the season.
If he truly just needed a change of scenery and he's going to give his effort and it's not going to be just I'm going to try for the last few months here. If it's like he is still playing well next year, then they got a bargain because they traded for a guy when his value is at his absolute lowest or near that. And you generally don't get somebody like him with a draft pick that's kind of in the middle of the first round, right? So
right.
On paper, yeah, it's great. As for what that does to the Wizards locker room and how that affects them in the stretch run, I have no idea. And I think there are a lot of question marks about the Wizards, especially if they don't turn it around now. I think that there'll be lots of questions about what happens with the coaching staff, what even happens with the front office. This has been a really disappointing year, and I just wonder... If you put a guy who's been kind of disgruntled all year and hasn't had the best attitude and you put him into a situation that's been disappointing for everybody involved, like what happens? So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I think it has a potential to work out well, but just like it was in Phoenix, like, it'll be about his attitude, right?
Absolutely. Do you think that, all right, let's see. Where is this team right now? They face Utah tonight. They're three games back of Charlotte for the 8. They're 2.5 back of Detroit for the 9.
So they're 10th.
Yeah, so
they're half a game up on Orlando.
Right. Man, I don't know. Do you think they make the play? I mean, it's weird. It's weird projecting because I think we thought so highly of them going into the season that it's kind of, it's still hard for me to imagine they're this bad.
Yeah, and Chicago could drop out if Butler's out for another.
Yeah, if he's out 3 weeks, like. I mean, I think Chicago's done.
Justin Holiday isn't just sliding into that Jimmy Butler role. Breaking news.
Right.
That's not what's going to happen.
Seems unlikely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think they should make the playoffs, but at the same time, Detroit just got a lot better.
Yeah.
So,
and I like the Charlotte pickup of Courtney Lee. That's huge for them.
Oh, I love that. So, by no means is that guaranteed.
Right. Yeah. I think I'll say they make, well... No, I don't know. I don't think they make it.
I don't know. It's really tough. I mean, it'll probably be swung by injuries or some variable that we don't anticipate.
Right. And then, you know, if they don't make it, they'll probably be good enough to still lose their pick, which makes it tough. But, you know, you did bring up a good point. Like, are you going to get a player as talented as Markieff Morris, you know, middle of the first round? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's important, too. Like, you know, we talk a lot about, oh, you can't give up first-round picks because, what, you know, you don't know what that player is going to be. But you can kind of measure it. Like, you know, we measured it with, like, were the Pistons going to get someone as good as Mo Tiunis? Probably, yeah. Probably not, right? Especially if they make the playoffs. Like, were the Clippers going to get someone as good as Jeff Green? I don't know. Doc's pretty terrible with the draft, so so I'm going to say no. Is Washington going to get someone as talented as Markieff Morris? Almost assuredly not. So yeah, I think it's a good risk. Like, you don't want to give up assets like first round picks because of the control that you have and the fixed costs and everything. But Markieff's not going to be that much more.
Well, they have control and fixed costs with Morris too, and he's
right.
on a great contract.
Right.
So
he
that's the difference,
right?
with the Mo Tiunis thing.
Yeah.
Is because they just acquired somebody who's on a very favorable contract as long as he kind of stays under control.
Right.
And buys into what they're doing.
Right. Okay, and then we've got the Lance trade. Right at the wire. So Lance Stephenson and a lottery protected 2019 first to the Grizzlies for Jeff Green.
I can't believe it. The Grizzlies, I mean, sure. Like, just put Lance in the mix. Why not? I can't wait to see how this works.
So they got Z-Bo, Tony Allen, Matt Barnes, PJ Hairston, Chris Anderson, and now Lance Stephenson. Those are some strong/wild personalities.
If you were covering that team, like, you were not bored.
No, and I'm in locker room availability every game before
and
after.
You're gonna get some great quotes
before and after every game, just watching, just creeping on, just lurking. Absolutely lurking. All right, I put this in the grade the trade because I wrote about this deal for us. So it's just Doc just doesn't value the draft, and I don't think it's not necessarily a terrible idea to not value the draft when you're that good of a team. Pat Riley doesn't really value the draft, they do okay but you really got to have a plan. But with Doc, like, all right, he took Reggie Bullock, who I still like. He took Reggie Bullock in 2013 when he took over.
When he gave up on him, like, immediately. He never played him.
Yeah, traded him away already. He took C.J. Wilcox in 2014. He's played, like, 20 D-League games.
I thought they were going to trade him today.
It seemed like they were going to. They lost last year's pick because that was part of the Doc Rivers deal from Boston. They have their pick this year. They owe their pick to Toronto next year. And then they'll have their pick in 2018. And then now they owe their 2019 pick, assuming it's not in the lottery. But here are guys they've, like, passed on since Doc took over. In one draft, they passed on Andre Roberson, Rudy Gobert, Archie Goodwin, Alan Crabb. Like, those were recent picks after Reggie Bullock, which, whatever. Like, I liked the Bullock trade at the time, or the Bullock pick at the time, but you did just give up on him, like, almost right away. And for reasons, I'm not going to spread rumors, but just Google Reggie Bullock, Doc Rivers stuff.
There are rumors, yeah.
There are rumors. And then in the next draft, when they took C.J. Wilcox, who I also like, who I would love for them to try to play sometime, because I was talking to a scout maybe a couple of weeks ago about Wilcox and about the whole, like, Clipper situation. And this guy was like, you know, I don't know why he doesn't play, or they haven't moved him for an asset, because he can play. Like, he can shoot, he can play, like, he could be valuable somewhere, especially with how valuable, you know, potential 3-and-D guys. Like, maybe he's not that good of a defensive guy, but at least 3-point shooting, like, he could be an asset for you.
It's not like they have a ton of shooting on that bench.
Right, and, like, they passed on Kyle Anderson and KJ McDaniels.
Yeah,
to get him. So, and, you know, you can think, like, those guys aren't that good. They've shown more than C.J. Wilcox has. Like, it's just this lack of value for the draft. And part of it, too, is, like, they've struggled to cobble together a bench. Right? Mm-hmm. And a decent second unit rotation. And they could have, like, if they used the draft properly, or at least in those 2 years, and cared about it moving forward, you would have, you know, a young, up-and-coming, developing bench that helps you sustain more. That's the problem with it, is that they you know, it's fine to be as good as they are. Like, they're in win now mode. I don't fault that at all. But you got to be able to sustain that. And they've just passed on chances to do that.
Well, I mean, that's what good teams are supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to try to win and then also develop guys that you pick. I mean, Festus Ezeliya was, what, 30th pick?
Right.
Looked like he couldn't play. The Warriors were patient with him. Now he's going to make a massive amount of money in the summer. You saw all these guys that Portland is playing and starting now. CJ McCollum, Alan Crabb gets big minutes, and Myers Leonard. Like, these guys weren't even playing when they had those veterans, but they developed them. They kept doing both at the same time. They were competing. There was a time, I think, when Matthews got hurt last year, they were second in the West, and they had these guys that they were playing a little bit, but they were developing. And I think that's supposed to be the model, is that you don't just go with all veterans. I understand being a veteran-heavy team. I understand if you trust those guys and those are the guys you want to play, but you always have to have some sort of eye on the future. And the Clippers have not done a good job at that at all. This is, you know, them giving up another first-round pick. I really feel like with a lot of these Clippers trades, it's like they feel like if we're a better team tomorrow after we make it, then let's just make it. And they are. Like, I would rather have Jeff Green on that team than Lance Stevenson.
Especially with the Blake Griffin injury.
Yeah, I like, for sure I would rather that. But I just think it's another example of how they make decisions that, if I was a fan of the Clippers, especially given that they might be reaching their ceiling now. Like, it might be the case that they just break up this core in the summer, that they're never going to be able to get past the Warriors and the Spurs. And if you're faced with that reality at any point, whether it's this summer, next summer, whatever, you'd like to know that you have some picks that you can use, whether you even use them or trade them. But I'm just not sure this was necessarily the deal to do that, because when we saw the Celtics get Jeff Green and when we saw the Grizzlies get Jeff Green, both times was like, oh, this is a guy that's going to put us over the top. And I'm not sure. Like, he obviously wasn't that player for them, and I don't think he's going to be that kind of player with Los Angeles. And that's not a knock on Green. Like, I just don't think it's fair
right.
to look at that roster and say this is going to be the difference maker.
Right. I mean, I like the addition while Griffin's out. You know, that's a nice sort of stretchy four who can play, you know, play well against or alongside DeAndre Jordan. And then when Griffin's back, all right, well, now you have a nice forward combination of Paul Pierce and Jeff Green, which I like better than the previous combination that was playing so heavily earlier in the year of Josh Smith and Lance Stevenson, right? So, like, yeah. I feel like you do. I agree. You feel like there's an upgrade there. It's just, man, like, did it really take a first round pick in order to swap Jeff Green for Lance Stevenson? Like, maybe it did. Maybe that's
apparently
just,
it did.
Yeah, but man, and you couldn't protect it more. Like, how? Yeah. I just feel
they
like they
couldn't get Channing Frye. It seemed like they were going to get Channing Frye. That didn't happen.
Right, that fell apart. Like, I would have liked Channing Frye for Lance Stevenson for sure, especially if you're not giving up a pick for him. But maybe they're giving up a pick in that. Well, I don't know. Orlando doesn't want picks, so maybe not. they're done on the draft as well. Yeah, I don't know. So a couple of cool at least the deals at the end. Did we miss anything? I don't think we missed anything.
I don't think so.
So we would say,
unless you want to go deep on Heinrich's return to the Hawks.
I mean, I'm hoping the I'm coming home video gets put out there.
That'd be nice.
That would be great. I think I like what the Hawks decided to do. I like them sticking with the core, not panicking. And I don't know, maybe it backfires in the summer, but I think that team's better than they've been.
Me too.
And I think that team could still make the conference finals.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of talent there, and I thought the idea of them...
And Kyle Korver's, like, good again. Like, deadly from three-point range.
And he had a rough start to the season.
Apparently,
and
did you hear that, like, he tried to change his shot?
Yeah, because of his injury.
Right, and so that's why he was shooting so horribly, and then he went back to his old shot, and now he's fine.
Yeah.
And now he's shooting, like, 44% since then.
Because that's what Kyle Korver does.
Right.
I thought it was funny when there were the rumors like a couple of weeks ago, like, oh, the Cavs want Kyle Korver. Of course they do.
Right. So do a lot of teams.
Like, he was an all-star last year.
I want
year.
Kyle Korver to come work at CBS. Like, we want him to.
That'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
He did write for his school paper.
Okay.
Yeah, Korver's Comet.
In high school or at Creighton?
It was in high school.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I would have rather that been at Creighton, so we could get like a C.J. McCollum kind of feel.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you could argue he was C.J. McCollum before C.J. McCollum.
Sure.
Like even like before, as in high school, as well as previous to him.
Right, because he's older.
Yes.
Much older.
But yeah, no, I didn't want the Hawks to break it up. I would have understood if there was a move that really made a lot of sense, that wasn't totally just detonating the roster. But the idea that they were going to move Horford and Teague, or that they're going to just dump Korver for a pick or something like that, that never really made much sense to me. I think the smartest thing for them to do is to try to make a run in the second half of the year and then re-sign Horford, because it sounds like he wants to stay. Like, I think a lot of the reason why Horford wasn't moved, why Powell wasn't moved, and why Dwight Howard wasn't moved is that in each of those scenarios, they weren't going to commit to re-signing with whoever got them. Like, in Horford's case, I think he really loves Atlanta. He likes the culture that they built. He likes playing for Budenholzer. He likes his teammates. Powell loves Chicago, and I think they made it very clear to teams around the league that if you were getting Powell, you weren't going to get a super happy, like, committed for the long term Powell, because he can be a free agent in the summer, and I'm sure he's going to be looking for what he was looking for last time, which is like a big city where he can go and go to the opera and all that, and then also have a chance to win games. I don't think he wanted to go just anywhere that wanted him. And with Dwight, I think he just wants to test the market, and
yeah. He
probably wants to get as much as he can. And I think that's going to be a really weird situation in free agency, because the cap has gone up so much and he's going to want a long-term deal. And I don't know if teams are going to want to commit that to a guy who's 30. And I'm sure if the Celtics or some team knew that they could trade for Dwight Howard and then re-sign him for like 2 years,
yeah,
and he would take it.
Well, the Bucks apparently made a move.
Yeah, the Bucks were apparently talking.
Charlotte tried to make a move for Dwight, and I think the Bucks thing fell apart when he wouldn't opt in for next year.
Yeah, I don't think he was going to opt in for any team.
Right.
And
you think Monroe's involved in that?
Maybe.
I guess that's a good return. Yeah. I'm not a Monroe guy, but you could do a lot worse.
I don't know. I think if I was Morey, I'd probably want more like picks.
Yeah.
And young developing guys, but I mean, Monroe would be fine value. I don't know the details of that, but I just think it was too risky for other teams to go after any of those guys, and that made it a disappointing trade deadline for us.
Yeah,
but it sort of makes sense in the climate that we have for the free agency that's coming up, where everybody's going to have a lot of money, and these guys are going to want to take meetings with a lot of teams probably.
Yeah, and yeah, so I like what Atlanta did. It's unfortunate that the Rockets couldn't change what they needed to, but you get it, right?
It's a weird time to be a Rockets fan.
Like. Weird, yeah. Well, all right. I was on the radio talking to Ethan Rothstein from the Dream Shake last night, and he just like sounded so sad and so like beaten down and so just worn out with the season. Talking about, you know, Ty Lawson and the Rockets and all this stuff, and it was so depressing throughout the entire interview that at some point, like the last question, I made sure I was like, man, just tell me a cool story about Hakeem Olajuwon. Like, what's a fun memory for you? And then he like talked about Hakeem a little bit, and then he talked about how happy he was for Yao being nominated for a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and like so we got to end on a happy note. But other than that, like, it was just not ideal.
You've got to reach back to Hakeem and Yao.
Right.
That's an issue. I think, honestly, Rockets fans would rather watch, like, I think they would have probably rather the team just blown it up and got some picks than watch, like, Capella and Decker and McDaniels and Harrell run around for the rest of the year. But that's not what happened. Lawson's still on the team. Howard's still on the team. It's so weird because there's still a part of me that's like, if they just make it to the playoffs, if they just get in and they don't hate each other, then they could pull off an upset against a non-Warriors team, theoretically.
I don't think they could upset the Spurs either.
Probably not.
I mean, I would.
They're going up against like the Thunder. Clippers,
I would heavily take the Thunder in a series against them, but it wouldn't shock me if a Rockets team who got their stuff together ended up upsetting the Thunder.
Yeah, I think they have the personnel to at least compete with those teams. So it'd be a crazy story if that happened. But honestly, last year's Houston team was a crazy story too, because they should have fallen off all those times when they were just beaten up and they had like seven guys healthy or whatever, and they just kept winning. And this year has been the total opposite. It's been a real bummer. But I get like, this is the team they've got now. And
What a great, I think they should put that on the media guide. Well, this is the team we've got now.
This is the team they've got. Like they didn't blow it up. So if they blew it up, they'd have less talent tomorrow. Right. Yeah. So we'll see.
Sure. All right. Two things before we go. Well, one, I guess three things. One, we're just going to look forward to the summer.
Like, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be really crazy.
All the feelings of disappointment today.
Yeah.
That will not be.
That's going to be
July
really,
1st.
That's going like to be that. Really crazy.
It's going to be a circus.
So I can't wait for that. And then two, Scott Pollard is on Survivor.
He is.
Which so I watched it and wrote about it last night. And I guess
my mom also did. She didn't write about it.
Okay, but I'd love to see her notes on it. But I'll we had a bug in someone's ear.
Okay.
That like caused the ear to bleed, and like this woman could not sleep, like couldn't find, like it was just like every like 30 seconds like she felt this thing inside her head, which
that's
I can't
disgusting.
Like, and then finally it like crawled out and Scott Pollard grabbed it and killed it.
Oh, hero!
So yeah, so great job by him. And then one of his tribe people, one of his teammates, this woman Alicia, called herself a mental giant. Also, in the same episode, she failed to do the puzzle that they needed to win to not lose their challenge. And when she was voting the guy off, you have to write the name on a piece of paper or whatever they're using, like a piece of bark or whatever they're using for.
They write on bark?
I don't know. I guess it's more like a canvas paper type of deal. Okay. It just looks like hey, we're on an island. This is what we're writing on. But she got like two letters in to writing the name, and she was writing kind of slowly before she realized the pen cap was on. So like giant, can't do a puzzle, can't figure out a pen cap. But she stayed on, and the guy she was voting off got voted off. So
the lesson, never declare yourself to be a mental giant. It's just too much pressure.
Right. But Scott Pollard's like kind of entertaining, and I hope he stays on a long time, because one, I get to write about it, and two, I don't know. He was a fun presence on the show.
Are they allowed to do podcasts from the island?
Well, I think it's been taped already. I think I think it's over. So
we could get him.
We might.
Potentially.
We might.
I mean, it's CBS.
We might be working on it. I mean, we're all in the family now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We're brothers with Pollard.
Yeah, we're colleagues.
Also, I made fun of this guy whose job was ice cream entrepreneur. I made fun of him on Twitter, and then he tweeted me, and then I didn't know like if I could like really make fun of him after that, because I didn't want to get fired for.
So he came at you.
He didn't really come at. Well, he came at me a little bit, and then I just kind of had a snarky retort just to him, and then he was and then it was fine.
What?
It didn't escalate or anything. But then I started thinking like, man, if I got fired over a reality TV person, who probably won't even win the contest, that would have been weird.
I mean, I just want to know what the ice cream entrepreneur thinks about your very controversial views on ice cream.
Yeah, my very stable, my very stable and correct views on ice cream. I wonder what he thinks about that.
Because I'm guessing if he only sold vanilla ice cream exclusively,
man,
he wouldn't be much of a businessman at all.
He'd be raking in the dough.
No.
See how much vanilla they sell in this country. I want you to look.
I'm sure they sell a lot.
Yeah, I bet they sell more of that than anything.
Combined.
What?
It's not more than anything else. Everything else combined.
Well, no, of course not. But it's probably the most sought after flavor.
That's fine. But you want other stuff. You want variety. And I'm sure the ice cream entrepreneur, whoever he is, would back me up on that.
Yeah. Well, he and I don't see eye to eye, apparently. Fair enough. I don't know if that helps your argument here. And then the last thing. I came across this story from a couple of weeks ago where a Wisconsin police officer recovered $90,000 worth of stolen Parmesan cheese.
Wow.
41,000 pounds of cheese worth tens of thousands of dollars. So I guess my question for you is, if you had to steal 41,000 pounds of a certain type of cheese, what would you pick?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I'm not saying you have to eat the 40,000 pounds of cheese. But you're probably going to want some of it.
I'm going to go with brie.
I think I'd go brie as well.
Because I wouldn't want like a super stinky cheese that's going to be really annoying.
No, blue cheese would be awful. No, I like blue cheese, but you don't want 40,000 pounds.
Absolutely not. And I also want one that like I could sell for a lot of money. And like brie's not super cheap. It's not the most expensive one around either.
Right. I guess, well, yeah, I guess to even it out, it's like whatever is less, like either $90,000 of brie or 40,000 pounds of whatever cheese is equivalent, right?
Sure. Yes, of course.
To keep it all fair. Because otherwise, like 40,000 pounds of brie could end up being like $200,000 or something like that.
Yeah, which would be madness.
Right. That would be madness.
But also, I just really like brie.
I love brie. Yeah.
I would love to just have a big pile of it.
Just a pyramid of brie.
Yeah.
Like an actual tire, like semi-truck tire of size of brie.
Yeah, that seems like a perfect plan.
Yeah. There was also earlier in that week, $70,000 worth of cheddar and other cheese stolen. Is this a thing I just don't know about? What? Where people are going around stealing cheese?
Cheese thieves?
Like, you know how there's the whole like Florida man stigma with a lot of like crazy news. Like, this is very much.
Have you seen the doctor?
Yeah, I have. Dr.
Love?
This is very much Wisconsin. Wisconsin man is stealing this cheese. But yeah, I'm with you. I'd go brie because I like it on its own. I like it with fruit. I like it on crackers. I like it on burger. Like, it's.
Oh, me too.
It's a very versatile cheese.
Not that often that you see brie on a burger as an option, but when you do,
gotta do it.
You pay attention, yeah.
And if you can, you know, it might end up being a little pricey, but if you can do some brie and some foie gras on a burger, that's a time.
I have actually never gone there.
Oh man, it's that'll make you feel like a new man,
like a king,
like a king, just,
yeah,
like King Brionitis.
I can't top that.
No. All right. That's going to do it. So thanks for enduring the horrible trade deadline with me. Congratulations to the Suns for getting rid of Markieff Morris.
Which team should we be really mad at? Like, for not doing anything? Like, Boston?
No, I get what they're doing. I don't have a problem with them not making a move.
I'm not saying... Oh, I understand it. I'm not saying I wouldn't necessarily made it. I'm just saying...
Right. For I'm like, mad screwing because up the I deadline.
Yeah, I think... They screwed it up. The Raptors kind of screwed it up. Like, they had enough to get something done. But I don't think that there was a big enough name or a big enough difference maker for them. So I'm a little mad at them. Definitely mad at Houston. Who else is there? Like,
Kings.
Yeah,
we really had some potential with the Kings. All they did at the trade deadline was fire an assistant coach. They fired Vance Wahlberg.
Come on, guys. We expect so much more and less of you at the same time.
Right. I think that was not cool.
Like, they should have done something nuts. Also, like, Ben McLemore, Caron Butler, they're just stuck there. They thought they were going to be gone. I bet Butler will be bought out, whatever. But, yeah, I think McLemore was supposed to be in a POW deal or was just supposed to go somewhere because, as we talked about the other day, like, it just seems like they've given up on him.
Right. Yeah, I blame the Kings the most. We could have really had some fun with the Kings. And who knows, by the end of this podcast, maybe George Karl's been fired.
Always possible.
Always possible. So we'll get, I guess, into the post-All-Star break tonight, and we'll get ready for the playoffs.
Basketball's back.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, Zach.